The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information provided is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or other qualified healthcare professional before changing your healthcare treatment, diet, or lifestyle.
Hello, hello, and welcome! Welcome to the Ocean Mist Power Hour. We are coming to you from Brookings Harbor, Oregon on KCIW 100.7 FM on your radio dial. We are broadcasting out of the gateway of the Great Pacific Northwest. It's about as far west as you can get in the continental U.S. This is the home of daffodils in December. Flowers all year round and truly, truly the nicest people you'll ever meet. Welcome to this place where the mountains and the old growth redwoods meet the sea harbor, and Brookings is home to me and home to my co-host, Sherry Carey Baum. I am Misty Young. Sherry Carey Baum is with us today. Hello, Sherry.
Hello.
So great to have you here. And I know we're excited to talk about nutrition and personal responsibility today. But before we do, I really want to give a shout out to all the people at KCIW who helped make this station the little station that could, that did, that is, even in the midst of the coronavirus, even in the midst of lockdown, from closets all around the Brookings Harbor area and from home studios. This little radio station is bringing you programming that matters. And we have a great big thank you to the people in front of the microphones, as well as those behind the scenes, whether they are recording, producing, cutting, leaving things on the editing room floor, or out in the community raising funds or talking to volunteers and helping people get involved. Thank you to all those folks who help make KCIW the great station that it is. Now, for anyone who has listened to the Ocean Mist Power Hour for a while, you know that I am not a doctor. I am a nutrition geek. I'm not a scientist. I'm a nutrition nerd. I do hold a certificate from the Health Sciences Academy. It's a nutritional therapist certificate. I also hold a plant-based nutrition certificate from the E. Cornell T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies. My co-host, on the other hand, is a medical professional, is a scientist by way of having a Master's of Science degree in nursing. Sherry Carey Baum, who is a registered nurse and has practiced in the field for decades, helping people from all walks of life to better their health. Not only does she hold a plant-based nutrition certificate for the E. Cornell T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies, she is also currently studying for the board-certified Lifestyle Medicine Practitioner Certificate from the American College for Lifestyle Medicine. Thank you, Sherry, for doing that.
I gotta tell you, it's getting tricky.
Is it getting tricky?
With the pandemic and whatnot, trying to take the boards, but it's going to happen.
Oh, good.
So very excited about
it. I'm excited.
I think that lifestyle medicine, people don't even actually understand what it is, but it's really all about people taking responsibility for their own health and for prevention, helping to prevent and reverse disease instead of just sort of waiting for it.
Yeah, it feels to me like so many people just sort of put their hands up and they say, well, what am I supposed to do? You know?
Right. Or not even that. So many people just go to the doctor's office and say, fix me.
Right.
I'm here.
I'm here. Fix me.
You know, I don't own responsibility. I'm giving my personal responsibility to you. Give me a pill. Fix me.
Wow. You know, I hosted one of my relatives. I'll keep it generic so I don't call him out. I'm not going to rat out, you know, my dear old ex person in my life. He's not ex, but you know what I'm saying. Like, I'm not going to rat him out.
Fill in the blank.
Yeah, fill
person.
In the blank, exactly. And he was here. He's 74. He's relatively young, I think. And he was telling me how he's had heart disease for 10 years already. And he told me, he goes, well, and he's always naming out dates and times, in August of 19, whatever, you know, fill in the blank kind of thing. It's always trippy. But he said a couple of things this week that really blew me away. One of them was, he said, you know, Misty, 8 out of 10 people age 60 or older are taking some kind of a medication for a health condition. It's inevitable. That's what he said. It's inevitable.
Inevitable. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So did he tell you what those other, it was 8 out of 10, did he tell you what those other two people are doing?
He did not, but I did challenge him. I said, you know, uncle, oh boy, I said it.
Uh-oh.
He's my favorite uncle.
Even more so now.
I know, even more so now. I said, you know, it's not inevitable. It really is about how we're taking care of our health. And I'm so glad we're talking about this concept today of personal responsibility and our own opportunity. See, I don't think it's so much a responsibility as I think it is an opportunity for us to take care of our health. It's this thing that we're always talking about, right, Sherry, where I say, like, once you see, you can't unsee. Once you know, you can't unknow. Right? You cannot unknow the fact that saturated fats and high cholesterol foods and salts and sugars hurt your body. They cause inflammation. And I'd like to talk about inflammation today, but before we do, I want to finish this thread of thought about this idea that it's inevitable. This idea that people are kind of putting up their hands and going, well, you know, and this is exactly what Uncle said. He goes, well, my dad, my own granddad, he goes, well, my dad had heart disease. So he literally made that jump. My dad had heart disease, so I have heart disease.
Yeah. And oh
so
my
I
golly.
Asked him, I know, I asked him, well, what did they do to you? And he said, well, they did a complete double bypass and they fixed a mitral valve prolapse, I think was the thing he said. And then the third thing he said is, and they replaced my aorta. And I was thinking, oh my God, and nobody told you to stop eating bacon every day? And no, they did not. Did anybody tell you not to eat steak? No, they did not. How about eggs, cheese, chicken, sour cream?
Oh, now, Misty, a lot of times, even when they come out of major surgeries like that, they're fed hamburger and french fries in the hospital.
In the hospital, right. Oh, my gosh.
The Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine has really been petitioning and getting legislation to make that unallowable. And it should be. There shouldn't be McDonald's in hospitals. There shouldn't be people eating high fat foods, high sugar foods, when they get out of surgery for heart corrective surgery. That's crazy.
Right. For any surgeries. Come on. I mean, if we're talking about getting personal responsibility for a body, a healthy body, and we're talking about inflammation, and we're talking about the system, right? Inflammation can be a systemic process.
So it is a systemic process. Yeah, so it's either an isolated process where you have a cut or you have a wound or you have something that your body is sending the white blood cells to correct.
Yes.
And that's short term, and it's an isolated situation. It's when bacteria or viruses get in your body and your body signals the immune system to go in there and repair. The problem with chronic inflammation is it's affecting your whole body. Mm-hmm. It's everywhere. Salt, sugar, high fat, high saturated fat, all of those things trigger this inflammation process.
It's like a cascade, right? I mean, it's an inflammation cascade. So it goes into your mouth. Your mouth begins producing a response to the foods that you're putting in it. Immediately, the digestive process begins while that food is in your mouth. But then as soon as you swallow it and it drops down into your esophagus and down into your stomach and down into your body, that inflammation cascade keeps happening all the way through till you push that food out of your body through a poo. I mean, I know we always end up talking about poo, but it is what it is.
And it's just your body's reaction to trying to heal you.
Yeah.
So chronic inflammation, whether it's in your blood vessels where it irritates the lining and then the white blood cells go there to try to patch it, well, that's plaque. And then cholesterol and all the other things in our bloodstream kind of gets attached to that area inside the blood vessels, and that's where we have restriction of blood flow. And sometimes it'll actually come off like a scab. Unfortunately, that's a blood clot. Oh. So really, truly, inflammation, we have to have it. We have to have our immune response for short-term repair. We don't want it when it kind of goes haywire and it's chronic and it's systemic. It's everywhere.
I think the word systemic is the part that excites me the most because I think about, I'm a systems person in a big way. I often talk about three ways to approach anything, and that's processes, systems, efficiencies. And over the course of time, I swapped out the word process for people. So I still have my PSE, which is processes, systems, and efficiencies. But when I think about systems specifically, the body is a system. Now, a lot of people like to equate it to a machine, and I don't think it's very mechanistic. I don't think it's a machine, but it is a system. It's very much interrelated. And here's the connection I want to make. So is the medical industry. It's a system. And there is a systemic problem in that system. where it says, bring somebody out of heart disease and feed them ribs or feed them a steak or feed them a filet mignon. And, you know, it's interesting that you brought up the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, because Dr. Neil Barnard, who is one of the gentlemen who began that organization, if he may not, he may actually be the founder of it, if not one of the co-founders. I think he founded it. And he said, I saw an interview with him recently, and he said something fascinating. He said, you know, I was a young medical student, and he was doing his rotations. I don't know what they call that stuff, or residency or something. He was doing his, you know, training after school training before you become, like, they call them baby docs, right? So you got the baby docs come into the system, and then they get trained in the system before they're released out as a whatever, an actual full-on, full-fledged doctor. And Dr. Barnard was assigned to the hospital morgue. And so he was helping the guy that was in charge of the morgue do autopsies. So he goes, yeah, we'd go in there and we'd saw down the chest and we'd pull apart the ribs and we would do the whatever we were doing on the heart and the lungs and doing our look-see and, you know, whatever they do in autopsies. And then he goes, my job was to help put everything back in place and then sew the body up. This is so creepy what I'm talking about. I get how creepy this is, but there's a reason to go to this level of creepiness.
I have to tell you, though, it's not creeping me out, but whatever.
Nice. And it doesn't creep me out either. I find it all fascinating. Well, he said one day after a particularly gruesome set of autopsies, he sewed up all the bodies and he got everything all done and he went down to the cafe, the hospital cafeteria, and they were serving ribs. And he said that moment he put it together. Oh. He realized it in the moment that this was something was really gruesome there. And so he started this campaign, this crusade really, that has become his lifestyle medicine crusade. And it's been really has become his life's work, his whole body of work, so to speak, pun fully intended, has really turned into teaching people how to use their own system. Their own system toward generating health. And he's trying to change the system, the medical system, from the inside, right, as an insider.
He is. And, you know, it's been a problem that we've had to deal with where science comes in and it's not enacted. It's not put into practice.
Right.
I mean, we talk about history and you have to learn from your history. 25 years ago, the general surgeon had a report about smoking. That smokers are dying. There were over 7,000 studies that demonstrated that smokers were dying. And we didn't incorporate it into medicine.
For decades. It was a
long, long
time. For
decades after that.
Right.
And it, you know, it was like the medical association, our medical association actually refused to endorse the general surgeon's recommendation for years about smoking. And the reason you'll see not just me and you, but all of the other ones like Dr. Greger and Dr. Barnard talking about this and relating it to smoking is we have the research that the whole food plant-based diet is the only diet that's been proven to reverse heart disease.
Right.
So we also know there's other benefits, right? We know it reduces medication use, it reduces depression, reduces insulin. For diabetics, reduces
inflammation across inflammation, the board.
Reduces cholesterol. We know all this, but we're still not putting it forefront. It's not only been known to reverse heart disease. Heart disease is our number one killer of men and women. And we have the cure in our hand. And it's a cheap cure. It's fruit and vegetables and whole grains and beans. So why aren't we prescribing that?
Well, there's no money in it. You know, that's the bottom line. Well, there's no money in it.
There was this one study that was done by cardiologists. You know, why don't cardiologists prescribe on a prescription pad the whole food plant-based diet? And the number one reason was they perceived or thought that the patients really would not give up junk food. So why talk about it? So we're just assuming that nobody wants responsibility for their health. Nobody wants to stop medication. Nobody wants to stop the high cost of health care, right?
It is
crazy.
It is. It's crazy to think that. In fact, I'm
thinking.
Oh, total disconnect. In fact, I'm thinking back to the DASH diet. And when they the Surgeon General came out and the DASH diet very first came out, which helped me remember what DASH stands for. It's the dietary approach for something for reducing hypertension. I can't remember what DASH stands for.
Yeah, I think it was related to hypertension.
So lowering your blood pressure. Yeah. You look it up while I chat about this for a second. Because I remember when the DASH diet came out, there was a whole lot of excitement about it. But then when it came down to it and they were going to really come out and say, whole food, plant-based, this is the way to go, they backed away from it and said, well, some meat should be fine. And the reason they did that was because they said people should be fine. Because they believed that people would not be willing to give up animal products for their own health. It's just crazy to me to think about that level of irresponsibility that we talk about a systemic approach, right? Whether it's a systemic approach in our own bodies, a systemic approach in the medical industry or in the hospitals or in the business end, there's also a systemic approach in our society. And I think this is my own opinion here, and I'm curious to know what you think about this. I feel like there is a machine behind the machine, which is Wall Street and Madison Avenue and big business and big agriculture and big medicine and big pharma and big food, all of these people together that are saying, look, there's a lot of profit in food. And is that true? Yeah, it's big time true.
And there's a lot of profit in food. There's no profit in fruit, not much.
There's not much profit in broccoli, right?
In broccoli.
Right. Oh my gosh. And there's so much health in broccoli. That's the part that's crazy.
So much health in broccoli. And healing in broccoli.
Yeah, healing in broccoli.
Makes such a difference. Just the healthy vegetables make all the difference in the world. And we know that. It changes how we feel. It changes depression. You know, it's like there was a study that was done where people were given statins to reduce their cholesterol. And then another group was given a whole food plant-based diet. They had the same drop in LDL and HDL. That's your good cholesterol versus your bad cholesterol. And they had a 25% drop in 1 week, a 33% drop in LDL alone. Okay, wow. So this is comparable. Now, we only are saying a week, and this is comparable to the drop that you'll get if you take statins. But guess what? You don't feel as good, right? Because when you go on a whole food plant-based diet, you have more energy, you feel better. It's not just about your cholesterol. You're going to move better. You're going to have decreased inflammation. You're going to have better skin. You're going to have more regular bowels. You're going to have so many other benefits. This was just one that study that was measuring the cholesterol. But the other interesting thing was they also had less depression, less anxiety. Now, when you take a statin, do you feel better? Do you have any other results other than on a laboratory? You might get lower cholesterol.
You might have some kind of a temporary bump in the idea that you're doing something. You know, you just might sort of at the surface level, you might say, oh, I'm doing good. You know, I went to my doctor and I got on my, I can't think of the name of those statin drugs, any of them off the top of my head, but
there's so
you know,
many of them.
Yeah, there's so many of them, but I'm on my new, you know, save it all, whatever that is drug. And so I'm feeling better. You know, I'm taking charge of my health. Like, look at my little bottle of pills, right? Like, come on, that's not really taking charge of your health while you're taking your bottle of pills and eating a Big Mac. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make sense, but unfortunately, there's side effects to statins, and we know that. So typically, you're not going to have a boost in mood or feel better, feel lighter, any of those things that we know we feel when we're eating food that is good for our body and our system.
Yeah. I love when, you know, you eat things like, I know we always talk about food on our show, Sherry.
Of course
we have to.
We do.
Right? It's our deal. We have to. I wish I could see you. I wish I could see you. I mean, here we are. We're still in lockdown. We're still on coronavirus. We're still not together in person at the studio, you know? And so it makes it hard. And I, what I love is that we often talk about food. So I'm going to tell you what I made for breakfast this morning. And then I'm going to tell you why I'm telling you it.
Okay.
So all the grandkids are still here. They've been here now for almost 5 weeks during this whole lockdown. And I made them blueberry shakes for breakfast. And I told the kindergartner, I said, you know, it'd be fun on your sharing today, because they do their classes by Zoom. I'm like, you know, it'd be fun if you shared on your class today that your grandmother made you a shake for breakfast. And she was like, oh, she thought that would be kind of fun.
Because, I still think CPS is going to come to your door.
Yeah, right? This woman serves cookies and shakes for breakfast. Well, yeah. So these shakes, you're going to love this. Frozen blueberries, a silk, which is a soy silk blueberry yogurt, a little tiny bit of almond milk, a tiny, tiny bit of maple syrup, and oatmeal.
That's what
these were made with, shakes. And of course, because the blueberries were frozen, they were like literally like shakes. And I kept telling the kids, I was like, I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know. We'll give it a try. So I whip them up. Of course, they were freaking amazing. And the kids were like, this is unbelievable. Could we have this again tomorrow? The reason I'm sharing this with you is all the kids were really happy after they had the blueberry shakes. Like, they were stoked up. They were happy. They were energized. They were energetic. And there was oatmeal in it. I used a whole cup of oatmeal for four shakes, which, if I'm not mistaken, a quarter cup of oatmeal is a full serving, right?
It's a serving.
Right. And so there was like two cups of blueberries, two cups of frozen blueberries, about one cup of the almond milk, about not even a quarter cup, maybe two tablespoons of maple syrup, and that oatmeal. And it was unbelievably tasty. The kids were nutritionally appropriate for going to school, which is what happened right after I fed them.
You know, and it drives me crazy because I don't know how many times people have said this to you, because they say it to me all the time.
Yeah.
I would rather not live longer if I have to eat like, quote unquote, a rabbit. If I have to eat like a rabbit, like that's all I eat is lettuce and carrots, I guess. And it's that perception that they don't understand that you have nutritious, satisfying, filling food when you eat whole food plant-based.
Yes.
You can eat as much as you want and still lose weight and have the benefits of a whole food plant-based diet. Your blood pressure goes down, you know, reduce your cholesterol, all these wonderful things. I don't eat like a rabbit.
Well, we ate like rabbits yesterday. I know I told you this.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, to our listeners.
Oh, that's right.
I know, I got to tell you, but to our listeners, this is always kind of fun, right? We talk a lot, and every time we talk about food. And yesterday, made something called bunny dogs. And I got to tell you, I was really expecting these to be gross. Sort of. I thought, well, they'll probably be good. I'm not sure. We'll give it a try. I took a bunch of carrots. I peeled them, you know, left them whole. So they were the big carrots. Like, I bought the really big bag of carrots.
Nice.
So the carrots were bigger because I was going to make hot dogs out of them, right? So I peeled them according to the instructions. I threw them in the Instant Pot with a concoction, essentially, of soy sauce, a jalapeno juice. I know that sounds weird. A little bit of jalapeno juice. And I didn't have jalapeno juice, so I used some juice out of my gardeniera. You know, do you have gardeniera in your fridge?
Oh, yeah.
So the pickling juice in the gardeniera. Apple cider vinegar, and then a bunch of spices. So
little maple syrup,
smoke, a little bit of maple syrup, And I pressure cooked those hot dogs for 4 minutes. Immediately released the steam, because you don't want them to pressure cook longer than the 4 minutes. And then I put them on the George Foreman grill to get those little black marks on them, to grill them. I put them into 100% whole grain, whole wheat hot dog buns, and the kids went nuts for them. They were like, this is crazy, Gaga. This can't be real. I'm like, it's real and it's awesome, isn't it? They loved it.
And you know what's even more awesome is basically you're giving them a hot dog that's made out of carrots and isn't considered a carcinogen by the WHO, World Health Organization.
World Health Organization.
The World Health Organization has said lunch meat, hot dogs, bologna, all that stuff causes cancer.
Class one carcinogen in the same criteria with plutonium and tobacco, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so I don't feed that to my kids.
Right. What you fed them was a healthy, fun alternative.
Yep. And they loved it.
That's exciting.
Loved every bit of it. Well, just now for the record, because, you know, we're on and we love to talk about these things anyway. For the record, there were a couple leftover dogs yesterday. And I did wrap them up and I did bring them out and put them in the oven on some parchment paper this afternoon. And I put them in hot dog buns again, and they ate them up. So even leftovers the next day, they were good. Put a little tiny bit of ketchup, a little bit of mustard, and drop it into a whole grain dog bun, and they were stoked.
Hey, sauerkraut on that.
Man,
I mean, we're talking amazing. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And, this is the thing.
I love is your creativity.
Well, yeah.
And that's...
You taught me how to do that.
You got to play with your food. You got to taste it and experiment with it and do all those other things to get it. I had to get this retainer for my mouth. And let me tell you, I'm going crazy with it because I taste my food as I cook.
Right?
And they're like, oh, no, you can't eat anything. Well, right now, my retainer is a yellowish green.
Let me guess, that's because you've had some curry.
A little spinach. I'm testing it in recipes.
Thank goodness
I change them every 2 weeks.
Oh, my gosh. You know, just for the record, I've had those retainers, too, and you can drop them into a little bit of peroxide, and that'll help clean them up a little bit.
You know, I'm okay with it. I'm like, what the hey?
You have, like, this fluorescent look about you. You're like, don't pay any attention to my super bright yellow teeth. We'll have to compare retainers one of these days.
Oh, this has got to be the grossest thing. It's good. It's a good thing for me. I'm doing it for my health. I'm doing it for all of that. But it's just so funny because I taste everything. And it's, I can't keep taking those silly things out just to taste food.
Oh, right? No, I get it. I totally get it. You know, when I say that you taught me everything about whole food plant-based living, one of the things, and we talked about this on our last episode, we talked about, you know, who are the people that are influencing you and how do you influence people to your way of thinking on whole food plant-based diet? And one of the things that you've taught me over the years or over the months that we've been studying this stuff, it feels like years, it feels like decades.
It's been a while.
It feels like I've known you my whole life.
Yeah.
I know. It's cool.
It's been eight months since we've been
God, if it could be 800 more months, I would be stoked. Yeah. But last week we talked about finding things that you love. So you you suggested to me, ask the kids what they like and figure out how to make a whole food plant-based version of that. And so I told you last week, I was like, well, you know, we all hate sweet potatoes. And I know I'm the only vegan in the world that hates sweet potatoes, but I just don't like them. And none of the kids like them either. And then we made those brownies. And last week I could feel it come through the microphone. You're like, and there wasn't sugar in those, was there? And I was like, yeah, there was. There was brown sugar. You're like, well, okay, that's okay. And I was like, oh, I was crushed. I was like, no, I let Sherry down. So I made them again this week.
And?
I made them with sweet potatoes again. I made them with dates this time. So I made a date paste.
So nice.
They were so good. They were a little less sweet. And actually, I prefer them a little less sweet. And I cooked them a little tiny bit long on purpose to get not burned brownies, but darkened
that
brownies.
Crunchy. Yeah.
Oh, they were so freaking good.
Well,
and the kids loved them.
And dates are so good for you.
They're so great.
Full of nutrients.
Yeah. Love it.
They're delicious. I love my food. It's amazing that
it
you
is
can
amazing.
Create
and so when,
all those flavors.
Yeah, and when people say things to you or to your husband, you know, like, oh, I'm sorry, you have to eat like a rabbit because, you know, you're married to the vegan lady. Like, your food is outrageous.
Yeah, we do surprise people when they come to visit every once in a while. You know I love you if you come to visit and I serve only whole food.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, I might be in trouble now.
Sherry's number is.
No, all the people that have visited us, I'm like, oh, just throw that on.
Oh, God. I have a policy against cooking meat in my house. I've never cooked meat in this house, and I've never let meat be cooked in my house, and I've only lived here for 4 years, but still, you know, it's kind of like, there's been a few times when the family's over for 4th of July and they're like, well, what about this tri-tip? I'm like, outside on the barbecue.
Yeah, that's
what about
we
these
do
burgers?
In the grill.
Outside on the barbecue. Yeah. Yeah, no, don't cook it in my house. Now, I want to talk about personal responsibility from a little different perspective for a second.
Ooh.
I know, because this is kind of hard. This piece is a little bit hard. You know, when I'm dealing with my kids, and these are not my kids, they're my grandkids, right? There's a twins that are nine and nine because, well, they're twins, a boy and a girl. You would not be surprised.
Now, they could have been born like on the 30th and then on the 31st, right, of January.
Yeah.
So
In different years, that could have happened, yeah. But you'd be surprised. I mean, it's a boy and a girl, and we tell people they're twins. They're like, are they identical? Like, oh, man, really? It happens. I've had people ask me. I'm like, no. Everything needs to be identical. And then you sort of see the look come over their face. They're like, oh, yeah, exactly. And then there's the six-year-old. And they've really asked me a lot of really valuable questions over the last 5 weeks while they've been here. And the other day they said, they get teased sometimes in their lunches when they sit down at their school, and they all go to private school, but when they open up their lunchbox and there's no chips, there's no cookies, there's no bologna, there's nothing that even resembles anything like any of that in their lunchboxes because their mom and dad have said, okay, if you're interested in being, they're vegetarian mostly, although for the last 5 weeks, they've been completely vegan. Kids ask them, why don't you eat meat? How come you never have a tuna sandwich? How come you never have turkey? Why don't you eat meat? And I've been so thrilled to hear them talking about animal compassion. First of all, they talk about animal compassion. They're like, well, it's not really very nice to kill other things so that you can eat them. And then the second thing they say is, plus that, vegetables and fruits are much healthier for you. So they're getting both sides of that message, and that's been really fun.
That's exciting.
But they asked me today, or you know, a couple of days ago, they asked me about just society at large, why aren't more people eating a whole food plant-based diet? And I told them, did you ever get a choice when you were a baby whether or not you wanted to eat meat? And they said no. And I said, and that's because our system in our society is set up that when you begin to eat solid foods, your mom and dad, not because they're evil, not because they're hate-filled or something, it's our system. You chop up a hot dog for the baby. Ooh. You chop up chicken pieces for the baby. You give the baby pepperoni because the baby loves it, you know?
I told you about the huge fight I had with my mother-in-law where she was sneaking my son a chicken bone. And I was like, no, he's not eating meat till a certain age. That this is not okay. Yeah. And we're sitting at the dinner table. The kid doesn't even have teeth, for heaven's sakes. He was very slow in developing teeth.
Yeah, okay.
No, he just didn't have teeth. The kid barely got any teeth till I think he was over a year when teeth finally came in. He's got good teeth now. He's 35.
Nice. Did he just get those teeth? I mean, is it a recent thing?
And no, it had nothing to do with our diet. It's just when his teeth came in. But I caught her under the dinner table trying to give him a bit of chicken and a chicken bone. She's like, oh, he'll just suck on it. I'm like, no, don't you hear that I'm saying we're waiting on certain foods? Yeah. Because back then, you know, 35 years ago, you introduced food very slowly and a very strong pattern.
Methodically.
And of course, I was in nursing school, so it was like I was following all those rules.
Protocols,
But she was sneaking meat to Jordan. I'll never forget that.
That's so crazy. Funny. And he's your son. You know, you want to feed him the way you want to feed him, and you have had a different at the time. And I'm sure your eating style has even evolved since then.
Well, I would never tell her that if she were alive today, I still don't think I would tell her I don't eat meat. Yeah. She kind of scared me sometimes.
Oopsie.
She was a tough mother-in-law. I loved her. Loved her to death, but she was a pretty tough mother-in-law.
Well, and so because our societal system says that meat is your source of protein, everyone, and it's a too blanket to say everyone, but societally, there's just a grand belief that you're getting your protein and your fiber. People think fiber comes from steaks. You're getting your protein and your fiber from meat. And the reality is all protein starts in plants. All protein begins in plants, right?
Right. And, you know, it's interesting when you say people think that fiber is in meat, because if you think about it, people talk about muscle fiber. Well, that's not the same. That's not the same at all. Fiber is the material that's in plants that keep it strong and tall and the roughage. There's absolutely nothing in meat that is fiber.
And the fiber in plants is essentially a plant's skeleton. Right. Yep. It is essentially the skeletal structure.
Leaves going out. Yeah. It's that roughage, and that's what's feeding our gut. That's what's helping us to maintain our health, is all that fiber. And think about how much fiber people get.
Yeah.
The standard American diet. Nowhere near enough. Mm-mm. I mean, well, I want to say anywhere from about 10 to 20, if you're lucky.
Grams per day.
Right. Is all they're getting. Oh, Lord, I'd be afraid to tell you.
I know.
I have no idea.
65, 70.
Probably, it's definitely over 50, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. I mean, I eat oranges and bananas and broccoli and salads and,
all you and I eat is got fiber. All we eat has fiber, period.
Right. Yeah.
Fruit has fiber. Vegetables have fiber. Beans. Grains, that's all fiber.
Nuts, seeds, avocados, olives, all that stuff. Yeah. Well, this concept of personal responsibility, then, it seems to me, if we think that our personal responsibility is to go to the doctor to fix us, if you're listening to this at some point in the future, we are recording in the middle of May of 2020, and we're still in this lockdown for the coronavirus. And what I've really seen over the course of the last few months of this, is that each of us has to take our own responsibility for our health to a whole new level, right? It can't just be, I washed my hands. It can't just be, I sneezed into the crook of my arm. It can't just be, I'm keeping my social distance. We also have to think about our cellular health. We have to think about our lack of inflammation, our inflammatory health. How do we take personal responsibility for decreasing the inflammation in our bodies? And it really starts with what goes in our mouth.
Absolutely. And people have to hear that the ones that were most harmed through the coronavirus or the COVID-19 are the ones that had pre-existing health issues. So we're talking high blood pressure, we're talking heart disease, we're talking diabetes, we're talking obesity, a high BMI, and a lot of the young people that have been hospitalized because of this virus were considered obese. They were in the obese category. So we know that, you know, there's no shaming about weight. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about how do you rebuild the best health you can? And that's to have a normal, healthy weight and to be eating a plant, mainly plant-based diet.
I love that you said that, because when we talk about personal responsibility, it really does begin at the end of your fingers and at the end of your fork. And whether that personal responsibility is, I'm going to eat more vegetables, or I'm going to eat more fruit, or straight up saying, I'm going to stop eating animal products. And this is not a show about vegan living. Let's clarify. You know what, Sherry, I would love it, in fact, if you would talk about what is the difference between three categories of things I'd love for you to address. Mm-hmm. What is vegan? What is plant-based? And what is whole food plant-based?
Oh, you know, you do know that's my pet peeve, right? That's why you brought it up, because it drives me batty.
Yes.
So vegan is no animal products. Mm-hmm. So Oreos. Right? I think Cheetos, maybe not Cheetos. They might have a tiny bit of milk in them for the cheese dusting. But
Oreos, Fritos, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, you can have any kind of junk food you want.
Yeah.
And it could be vegan. Fries. It just doesn't have animal product in it.
And vegan is really more of a philosophy, right? I mean, isn't vegan more about animal compassion first and foremost, as opposed to health? I hear a lot of vegans say, I'm an ethical vegan, or I hear them say, I'm vegan for the animals. And then
I think that's part of where it started. I really do. But once you start to stop eating animal products, you just become more aware of the animals and their hearts and their sweetness and all those other things. It just becomes much more difficult to eat animals when you've been a vegan for a while.
Agreed.
But you can have an Oreo.
Which is not going to support your health. It is going to cause a cascade of inflammation in your body with all of the fats and the sugars and the salts. And
Ew,
gross.
Yeah. And it's so a total processed food. There's absolutely nothing.
No nutritional value in there at all. Really, there's calories. And calories alone by themselves have no nutrients in them. Just straight up calories.
Glucose.
I mean,
yeah,
they could have nutrients.
Sugar.
But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's easily digestible. And that's why so many people that eat that kind of food have high blood sugars, because it dissolves and is absorbed much more readily, and you have the spikes and the drops. You know, think about what the kids were like after they had a big sugary sweet. Remember in those days where the kids would eat candy, and all of a sudden you're like, what the heck happened to
this
house?
Bouncing off the walls. Yeah.
Oh, my lordy. They're biting, screaming, jumping. So really, vegan is just no animal products.
Okay.
But a plant-based, which is really frustrating me right now, because I feel like technically Oreos might be plant-based. I don't know what they make that product out of, but did it start as flour?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So oil, that can be plant-based.
Plant-based, yeah. Sugar comes from beets or sugar canes, yeah.
Right. So I honestly think that the food industry has seen how important health is to people and how they're trying to change their eating habits and what they're putting in their bodies. And I think that the food industry has jumped on this. So technically, it's plant-based.
Right. And so the food industry is kind of hijacking the term plant-based and
it's
putting
like
green
when they,
things
when
on
they
their
came
logos.
Out with those low-fat cookies back in the 70s, right? Snackwell. Everybody was bad on fat, low-fat. We got to eat low fat, 70s and 80s, I think, is when they started doing this. Well, what they did is to get the flavor, they just poured on
jacked
the sugar.
Up the sugar, yeah.
So people were eating low fat, but they were getting obese from all the extra sugar.
Wow.
So plant-based is kind of a pet peeve for me right now, because I think it's another way of manipulating and tricking the public. Whereas whole food plant-based, that means it's the whole food. It is from a plant. And that's it. So examples, olives are whole food plant-based. Avocado is whole food plant-based. Olive oil, avocado oil is not.
Processed.
It's plant-based. It's not whole food plant-based.
Right. Yes, it's a fractionated part of the plant.
And they've taken out all the other stuff. Because other people go, well, what about whole wheat flour? Well, whole wheat flour, if it's 100% whole wheat, it's just ground up flour. Or ground
just
up,
ground up wheat. Yeah.
Right? They haven't stripped away the nutrients, the what little oil is in it. It's a whole wheat product. It's a whole food plant-based product. And that's why sometimes your whole wheat flour will go stale, right? Because of the oils. It's a natural product.
Right, right, right. I love every once in a while when I text you a picture of a label and I'm like, is this healthy? I'll send you the picture on the front and then the nutrition facts or the ingredients. And you're
and
like, yes,
I very sadly go, That's
most
always
times,
my cue.
Yeah, most times. I think the last time I sent you a picture of something, I sent you a picture of whole wheat pastry flour.
Yeah.
And you know what else has been really cool is I have learned how to make pancakes from scratch. So I've been making whole wheat pancakes from scratch. The whole family loves them. They're all into it. And I always feel so good about serving it to them with 100% fresh. Well, it's not 100% fresh, but it's 100% maple syrup, you know, not log cabin pretend, you know, high fructose corn syrup that's been. Yeah,
yeah.
No. There's no lean washing. There's no green washing in my house. It's real food.
Even mashing up strawberries or blueberries and putting those over pancakes would be delicious.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been doing that this week. I've made whole, blueberry pancakes. And, oh, the kids have been into it. It's been a lot of fun. I had a thought I wanted to ask you about. We were talking about whole food, plant-based. We were talking about pancakes. We were talking about, yeah, you were saying, you know, it's a whole food, and I was thinking about the bunny dogs, and the reason I call them bunny dogs is because they're made out of whole carrots, you know?
Yeah.
That was whole
it's
food.
It's rabbit
plant
food,
based.
Right?
It was rabbit food, exactly. But, you
it
know,
is.
The thing is when you start to eat that, and you've taught me that it takes about 10 days or 250 hours for your taste buds to swap out your whole mouth, right? Over the course of 10 days, you get a whole new set of taste buds, and when that happens, bam, everything tastes great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Everything tastes great. It's satisfying, but you don't have the food coma. So you eat and you still have that energy. You still feel like you can get something done. The kids can still do their homework. They're not sluggish and nappish after they've eaten lunch. And I think the kids are doing a service to other children when they say, we like plants, we like vegetables, because it's awareness. It's putting that out there. I don't know if you were one of those teenagers that was a vegetarian at all.
I was not tuned in.
As a teenager, I mean, I've always probably veered towards eating this way anyway, but as a teenager, a lot of my friends and I were like, we don't eat meat anymore. And okay, granted, it was kind of a na 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 na.
We're so different. You know, I'm not going to be like everybody else, right?
Right. And to poke at your parents. Like, we're not going to eat like you.
Right.
And I hope that more and more people realize that they do have a voice and they can say, I'm sorry if you think I eat like a rabbit, but I like my food and I'm healthy and I can do 3.5 to 6 miles on a hike and not come back sore, tired, achy. Right?
Little tired. And I'm taking personal responsibility. I'm being personally proactive in my health. I am making it my business. That's the thing.
Absolutely.
I feel like health is such a big industry. It's such a big business. And earlier when you were asking the question of, you know, well, why do they prescribe so much drugs? And why do they want you to have surgery? And why do they want you to have
profit.
Appointment after appointment with the next specialist and the next specialist, exactly, for profit. And I'm profit. Not opposed to profit. I am opposed to profit at the expense of people's health. If the easiest thing in the world would be to say to someone, as you so eloquently stated earlier in the show, that heart disease is the number one killer of men and women. And it's the one disease, I mean, many diseases, but it's the single most prevalent disease that has been shown to be reversible. And you're not allowed to say the word cure, but it can be stopped, reversed, it can be prevented, all with a whole food, plant-based lifestyle. And so when we start really talking about personal responsibility, that's really where it starts. It starts at being in a society that is not going to take responsibility. They're putting profits over people. You have to put your own personal responsibility over the profits of other people. And sometimes we get this question from people, don't we, that where they say, well, it's expensive to eat the way you eat. Well, it's so inexpensive, but I'd also love to know how much did that surgery cost where they replaced the aorta, did a double bypass, and fixed a mitral valve prolapse. That had to be 100 Gs.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, right now with the pandemic and everybody is up in arms and everybody's on both camps. One camp is you have to wear your mask. You can't be near anybody. The other camp is stuff it. I need to get out and enjoy the world. It's interesting because the people who are pro mask, 6 feet, you know, shut down the world because we got to fix this disease, are telling the people who are a little more out there and not as determined to be protective, well, if you get sick, we shouldn't have to pay for it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
Guess what? If you eat a steak and French fries and a milkshake, who do you think truly covers the cost of that cure, open heart surgery, medication for a lifetime? Right.
Yeah, it's not the person. It's called,
shared by our society.
Right. It's called public health.
So to be so narrow that that's what you're telling people about coronavirus. Well, guess what? That's what you need to hear when you're eating and you're causing more and more diseases that society has to pay for. It doesn't, it's not a one-way street.
Exactly.
And that's my rant.
I love your rant. Thank you for that rant. I appreciate it. I mean, you know, ranting, it's one thing if you're ranting with no purpose, but this is a purpose. And the purpose is to tell people you can take responsibility for your own health. I would like to say this, and I've said it so many times on this show, and I'm saying it again, and if I can say it on every single show, I will. I am pounding on my chest. I hope you hear it. This is my ship. I am the captain of this ship. This is my ship, okay? So what I would say is, this is my ship. I cannot control the wind and the waves, but as captain of this ship, I will control the things that I can. And not only will I must And we all must, because we cannot control the wind and the waves. We cannot control the viruses and the bacterias and the things that other people are doing. We cannot control those things. Those things are out of our control, out of our hands. But the things that are in our hands, whether they're oranges or apples or blueberry shakes for breakfast, for God's sake, or cookies for breakfast. And remember, those cookies were three ingredients, right? Oats, bananas, and what was the third thing?
I just made a bunch of them.
Peanut butter. Oh, God, they're so good. And the kids love them. The point of it is, it's up to us individually to protect our own health. No one else is going to do it for us, because there's big, big bucks in it. So you got to think about, is it about profitability or personable responsibility? And I would like to say it's about personal responsibility.
It is. And if you think about it, because again, you get people saying, I'd rather not live longer if I have to eat like that. It's not about living longer. It's about living well. The whole reason I eat like this is at 60 so that I can hike for 6 miles and still function.
That's
so that I can think clearly, so that I have energy. That's why I eat this way, is not just personal responsibility for my health, but my life is enriched by how I feel and how I move.
Yeah, you know, I'm a little bit behind you on my health journey, and you've been helping me in so many ways since I met you. And it's still shocking to me that I haven't known you my whole entire life. I swear to God, I feel like we're sisters. Separated at birth or something. I don't know. It's so weird. But, you know, we went for a hike recently. And how long was that hike? I forget. It was like 4 miles?
Yeah,
five,
right around
like that.
Three.
Yeah.
three to four.
Are you sure it wasn't 8 or 9? I mean, it was a pretty long hike. But when I say I'm behind you, I mean, like, I'm behind you on the hike, and I'm huffing and puffing. And
now, I was being a good hiking partner.
You were a good hiking partner.
I didn't ditch you.
No, you did not ditch me, but I'm not in as good a shape as you are. And I strive to and always model from your behavior. And that's the thing I love is that you walk this walk. You don't just talk about it. You don't just say, hey, whole food, plant-based living. You know, you call me out if I say I made brownies and you're like, there wasn't sugar in there, was there? And I'm like, well, yeah, there's a little bit. But not this week. This week they were made with dates.
Yeah.
And so each week, you know, there's going to be people. In fact, I've heard a few people say, well, you know, I've tuned into the show and I've heard of a lot of the same things. Right. Good. Are you learning from it? Are you doing something?
Are you
changing your behavior?
It?
Yeah.
Right.
Because here's the thing. How many times do we have to hear a message before we decide to incorporate it and make it our own? And, you know, one other thing that I say all the time on this show, and I'm saying it again right now, you know, every bite of food we take or beverage we sip is either feeding disease or fighting disease.
Absolutely.
I would rather fight disease. I would rather be that person who says, I choose health. In fact, you know, I've told you before, I have three moms. I have my mom who gave birth to me. I have a lady who I call my spiritual mother, who really awakened my soul and my spirit to a whole new level of spirituality a couple decades ago. And then I have my stepmom. I love them all in different ways, and I love them all equally. And my spiritual mother told me a few years ago, you've hiked on Cape Sebastian here on the Oregon coast.
I love Cape Sebastian.
I love Cape Sebastian. It's world-class hiking. It's a beautiful, beautiful hike. And she went on that hike with me when she was 75. She is 75.
Yes.
Now, she's 81 now, but she was 75. We went on that hike and she had no trouble on it. None. And that's a pretty, I think Cape Sebastian is a grueling hike.
It's a tough hike.
And I said to her, I go, you know, you're lucky that you've got this level of health. And she stopped me. Like, she literally reached out and put her hand on my forearm and she said, I'm not lucky. I am enjoying the fruits and the benefits of having made a series of great decisions throughout my life. That's why I'm healthy. And that really struck home to me when she said that. That's
absolutely huge. And she's right. That's the whole point of what we're doing, is so that at that age, we have the mobility and we have the strength and the intellect. I mean, we know that this is not the standard American diet increases your risk of dementia and Alzheimer's. We know that.
Increases your risk of cancer and heart disease. And
diabetes.
And so much more. And diabetes and metabolic syndrome and arthritis. I mean, the standard American diet is sad.
Yes, absolutely.
It hurts.
Yep. It hurts not just you, it hurts your family, it hurts your children, it hurts our society, it hurts mm-hmm. our country.
Mm-hmm. And like you said earlier, it's the public health dollars, you know, maybe that $100,000 operation I was talking about earlier didn't come out of that individual's pocket, but I guarantee you, because it was performed in a federal facility, that it was coming out of our pockets.
Absolutely.
Those dollars came out of publicly funded monies. And, you know, it's crazy to me when people say, well, if that were really true, if eating fruits and vegetables was the right thing to do, my doctor would tell me.
But let's go back to the very beginning of this discussion and our smoking example.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, the
doc would come in with the cigarette.
Smoking. Yeah.
In the hospital room.
How would you like your annual exam to be done while the doctor's got his cigarette? Here, hold this.
Oh my God, right?
Crazy.
Oh my gosh. It is crazy. But each of us can individually make a difference in our lives by choosing better habits. And, you know, here's
Absolutely.
The other thing, too. It doesn't take years. And I think this is part of the thing that is frustrating to people is they think, well, it'll take me decades. You know, like it took me 50 years to get heart disease, or it took me 35 years to build this cancer or whatever. But here's the fact of the matter. You can begin to change the inflammation in your body overnight. Like the next morning, if you've gone without any food for 12 hours, by the time you wake up in 12 hours, your body's already beginning to heal.
Absolutely. That study I told you about that was published in the National Library of Medicine, a 25% drop in LDL and HDL cholesterol ratio from 1 week of a whole food plant-based diet.
This isn't me just numbers like that on medicine.
And this isn't me making this up. I'm not making any of this up.
Right.
So something
that
to be
is
heard.
A pretty phenomenal number. You know, when we think about how long it takes to build poor health and how quickly we can build robust, vibrant health, when I think about that, it makes me want to say, I am not going to put foods into my body that hurt me. And I want to say that to our listeners. You know, I want to say to our listeners, you get to choose it every moment. It's not your fault that you were raised in a society that says meat is good, animal products are good, ice cream is fine, butter is the new fat or whatever, you know, salt is back. Those things cannot be further from the truth. And yet, that is what our society tells us. And what we're saying is you've got to rely on your own information and don't bank on us. Go do the research yourself.
Oh,
go
please.
Look at nutritionfacts.org. Right?
Absolutely.
Find the information. Find out what you can.
Easy to find, actually.
It is easy to find. Well, Sherry, as usual, this has been just a fascinating discussion. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and your knowledge. It's neat to be able to talk to a nurse, you know, about these things always.
So fun.
And gosh, I can't thank you enough for taking time out to join me here on the Ocean Mist Power Hour. This is the place where it's the home of daffodils in December, the flowers all year round, the nicest people you'll ever meet right here in Brookings Harbor, Oregon, and coming to you from KCIW 100.7 FM on your radio dial. Sherry, thanks again. Really appreciate
it.
And I'll look forward to seeing you again soon and to having our listeners on the show again. Thanks again so much, everybody. See you soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information provided is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or other qualified healthcare professional before changing your healthcare treatment, diet, or lifestyle.